QFC, QFC, QFC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, NET Control, the Tech Tuesday NET at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and the PL of 131.8. This NET is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Except when we have it, we don't have it. And we're trying to get back to the every Tuesday. But right now, we're going to still stick to the second. And today is the second. Second Tuesday. This repeater is solely owned, operated, maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of all technology and amateur radio. The gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications and new technology. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. And are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of things coming up. If you're a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, their Christmas party will be on the 13th, Saturday, the 13th of December, at the Senior Center from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This evening, we will be pulling from November 2014 QST. A good article brought to my attention by AJ6KDL, Jim. And this is in locating RF interference at HF frequencies. Very good article there by Tom Thompson. We'll get into that in just a moment. Let's go through our roster here. Let's see who's out there. Starting with KA6CIA George.
Tom, welcome back, K6CIA.
Hey, good evening there, George. Yeah, it's been a while. We didn't get much last month, but hey, here we are. All right, and I'll move on down here to WA6ITC. Let's see if we have Rod out there. Not hearing Rod this evening, that's okay. How about KJ6FIL Mike Redwood? Yeah, okay, we don't have Mike out there, but I know we have KJ6KDL Jim.
KJ6KDL, checking in.
Good evening there, Jim, and I know Rosemary's right there with you. KJ6KDK. Let's move on down the list here. Let's see, we got KI6IQA Kelly. Are you out there? Hey, no Kelly? Yeah, see what happens? We skip a month and everybody goes away. Oh well. K6GVL. How about Ron from Green?
Good evening, Tom and Ness. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to hear you out there. Hopefully we're getting over any other background noise. And good to have you with us this evening. How about AD6PL? Let's see, we got Harold from... Hey, that's from Harold. Maybe he'll join us in a minute. KJ6RAY, Ray. Yeah, near there. How about K6LCS, Quint from Aruba Valley? Now down to KJ6PYV, Dave from Sugarloaf. All right, let's move on down to K6YNW, Chris. Are you out there? W6POO, Chip. AD6LAN, Bill from Boulder Bay. All right, well, we got a very small list this evening. Okay, let's move on down to AE6TK Victor. K6ROD, Rod from Moon Ridge. K6ROD. I'm glad to have you out there. All right, we are getting out there. All right, W6JET, let's see, we have Ross. I don't hear Rob out there. Okay. Got a couple other names here. How about KK6FJE? I don't know if we have Zach. I see that guy over town, too. I always crossing paths there. KK6HQB, how about Bob?
Okay, I'm here. Hey there, Tom. KK6HQB.
Glad to hear you out there. Hopefully you're feeling better. We hope so anyway. How about W2PFA? How about Art? Well, that is kind of a broken up list that I have here. I know we have a lot more people out there. Anybody out there would like to check in as a guest this evening, please come back to KO62, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
K6MOS.
Sorry, Brett, I forgot you out there. KK6MOS, glad to have you out there. Anybody else? All right, well, kind of thin pickings out here this evening, that's okay. And we'll be getting back into the groove here pretty quick. Well, anyway, Jim brought this to my attention. This is from the November QST. RF interference. At HF frequencies. Now you got to understand that at VHF, UHF, we can get these cute little antennas, little Yagis, little quad antennas, little loops, and go out there and go hunting. It's a little more difficult at HF frequencies. The antennas get huge. And let me reset. But a lot of the sources generally span over quite a few frequencies. In fact, some, if they're due to power line interference, can go all the way from the AM band all the way up into the 440 band, 440 megahertz band. So those are easier to locate with smaller antennas, but you have to kind of get into the general area before you can pick that up. Jim, I know this is pretty cool here. This article, I noticed that there seems to be one of the sources. That's primarily it. And I know you brought to my attention that grow lights, now this is a little bit further down the article, but actual grow lights tend to have a lot of RFI. And you had a couple things you noticed about that. Go ahead and share that with us.
Yeah, Tom, KJ6KDL here. Yeah, this article was rather interesting to me because we've had this issue for a few years up here in the Big Bear Valley, and a lot of it's been related to Charter, and they've been working very diligently trying to close down their noise, but they're not the only ones. And what was interesting is about a day after I read this article, I heard some gentlemen on this repeater talking about chasing down grow lights for people who had been growing plants that were not of the kosher kind. And that just brought up that there's just a long list of things that we're putting out, or that the industries are putting out, that we're buying as consumers that now have high frequency components to them, including fluorescent lights, even some of the ones that we're now replacing with LED bulbs around the house. Some of those generate noise. We have smaller, lighter power supplies that generate high frequencies. And I even had a small network switch that I ended up having to pull out of my network at home because the power supply started generating noise. And I even have an audio sound card that when I turn it on, breaks squelch on my 2-meter radio. And it takes a while to find these. Sometimes, this guy mentioned it, you have to turn off your breaker to your house to see if it goes quiet to make sure it is or is not you. And sometimes it's not you. And oftentimes it's not you, it's your neighbor, and it may be a neighbor half a mile or more away. And if you're into radio, this can be an issue, and there's legal requirements for equipment to not impede on radio. In fact, on page 34 of this article, there's a little grow light problem indicator, and this just shows sometimes some of the things we buy from overseas have labels that make it look like they've been through FCC compliance, and maybe not. So it was just another indicator. These lights that people are buying to get their plants to grow may be knocking out somebody's radio half a mile or more away. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, Jim, and actually, the a lot of these devices, if they are tested and approved, are under Part 15 and Part 18. In other words, they are allowed to emit some noise, but not a lot. And unfortunately, nobody really enforces this. Nobody's out there checking, tracing this stuff down. So, like you say, it can be, they can be exceeding their limits by 40 dB. Well, what does that mean? Well, 40 dB, basically, that is 10,000 times of what it should be. That's a lot. So, and the FCC really isn't going to react to any of this stuff until, somebody complains, and that's us. So, the reset here. A lot of the newer electronics, like you say, Jim, uses a switching type of power supply. That's a very, very general statement. A lot of LEDs, everything out there, the grow lights, fluorescent lights, everything, they have found that it's easier to do switching circuitry and cheaper to produce stuff like that than using transformers, heavy, bulky, copper, a lot of copper. And with that said, the older stuff probably would not generate this. But the newer stuff, yep, it's very prone to that. And I'll reset again. That said, the noise factor comes in that when good stuff goes bad, too. Basically, it may be fine when it's brand new off the shelf. As it ages, some of the filtering in there that made it FCC compliant is going away or failing. And that's when it really causes an issue. And it's not just right around the corner. Like you say, Jim, it could be blocks or miles away, actually. So, anyway, with this said, let's kind of find a couple of the sources here. He's got a few listed. This is a very big article, so we're only going to kind of go over parts of it. And the grow lights were one. Anything with switching devices like there, Jim, like you say, it was network switches. We've got things like halogen yard lights. That are, different things, and you'll have to actually, if you're tracing down the interference, it's good to note whether it's on a weekend only, or if it's nighttime only, or all the time. Jim, have you had any interference there? I know you did at one time. This is quite a few years back, and you want to share that with us.
Yeah, Tom, we had several, and it was multifaceted, and it had to do with the crux of the reason why I found the noise was we had a coax junction up on the pole for our charter cable that had begun to oxidize. It was losing its shield. So that allowed noise to come out, RF noise, but the problem was that there were two sources of RF noise, and one of them, embarrassingly enough, was me. And I had purchased a cheap Chinese 5-port network switch and was using that to split off some equipment. And it has a switching power supply. And it had started to leak noise. Maybe it was the coax, but at some point it started to get noisy. And since I had Charter internet, the network switch was actually bleeding through the cable modem and generating noise at the pole. I found that out by hooking up my Yagi that I had made, 4-element, and I had gone outside and was swinging it around, and sure enough, it was coming out of the pole. But when I put my arm down, I swung across the front of the house, and it went off again. And it was directly where my equipment was. I'll take a break for a second because they have more. KJ6KDL here. The other thing was, as you were mentioning, periodic noise. Noise that was only happening on the weekends. And it took a drive-by, and basically we found some neighbors who would unplug their gear, which makes sense because our power here is stable, and they'd unplug their TV, everything, and go home. And then they'd come back periodically once a month or every other month, and they would come in and they would hook up their TV and turn it on. And it turned out they had a really old tube television set, and they had 75-ohm coax in the house that was never replaced. So that created an imbalance with the 50-ohm coax that Charter had run, and they had upgraded. And so we had to catch them when they were here on a weekend, and luckily they were here. They stayed up over, and Charter was able to go in and help them out with their electronics issue. And that was just on our street, and there were quite a few that some others may know about. And I'll send it back to you and see if you would ask for other questions from others.
Yeah, Jim, real quick here, I'd like to also mention if you're going to set up to try to track some of this down, you don't need a lot of elaborate gear. Actually, you can use a loop antenna, and it actually has very little gain. In fact, it has negative gain. It has a lot of loss for the HF band, but sometimes that's what you need. And as you get closer, it's good to have an attenuator in that chain of equipment that feeds your receiver, and then a field strength meter at the tail end there to actually get a reading on that stuff. You can actually use an S meter from a set, so you can actually improvise with a lot of this stuff. But anyway, with all that said, and there's you got a schematic here of something you can actually put it all together, but you can actually improvise with some off-the-shelf gear. And let me reset. On KF62, Tech Tuesday, and the group. So anyway, just like doing a T-hunt or fox hunt, finding this stuff is the same pattern, basically. You got to kind of get a direction of where it's at, if you can. As you get closer, it gets harder to narrow down. You have to use a lot of trickery there of attenuate the signal back almost to the point sometimes of even removing the antenna completely. You got to get down to the point of where it is coming from. And Jim, yeah, that's we've had issues here. I know we had on ours was through Charter at our house, basically at where the coax connected to the house. The connection, years old, basically had developed some oxide there and was noisy. And they changed out the connector. It's actually creating more of a problem for everybody else than us. But yeah, that's little things like that creep into what's out there. Anybody out there with any questions or comments, please go back to Tech Tuesday in the group.
K6ROD.
Check me out, AG6TL.
Harold, got you out there. Rod, yes, go ahead.
I'm just curious, is this all this interference, does it come in through through your antenna? Or can some of it be like equipment sitting next to the HF equipment and it's going like, I don't know, through the cords or through the box or something?
The answer to that would be all of the above. Basically, yeah, if you have radio gear and you have computer gear, so a lot of us have computers now in the same room or vicinity, you'll get noise from that, and it can be it can actually travel across the power line, a lot of different sources. So that's what makes it hard to trace down. And you almost have to, like Jim said, start unplugging gear and shutting stuff off if you're trying to locate something and see where it's at. Have you had some problems over there with stuff like that?
Yeah, I have a lot of noise on HF, and I just haven't had a good chance to where I could turn everything off, you know, because there's either somebody here or something, you know, they wouldn't be happy about it. but I'll narrow it down. I have the computer right next to the transceiver, and when I turn the computer up, I can definitely tell that some. I think it's the the router maybe or some one of those components on the internet. Go ahead.
You know, and I'll tell you what, this was going back into 2009, 2010. Lance, anybody out there remembers Lance? It was up there at Onyx Summit in the back there. And he had some problems with RF interference. Turned out that he had, when his house was built, and a little, I'm going to call it a wallboard. If you're not familiar with the wallboard, that's that little thing you plug in there and they run everything. They, you know, they'll charge your radio, they'll run your, you know, your little monitor screen, whatever, but all it is basically a real simple transformer and a very noisy power supply. But anyway, it was basically causing an issue. It was to power up an address light, actually, yeah, a light, little low voltage light showing his address, and it was not accepting anything. It was never installed. So it was just kind of sitting there floating, as we say, and it was causing issues. Basically, something like that, the best thing to do is remove it, hit it with a big hammer to destroy it. You'll never use it again, and go get a new one. Now, basically, you don't have to hit it with a hammer. A lot of times, the component is beyond fixing, beyond the, you know, the cost to replacement ratio is for repair to replace, easy to replace. And that sometimes will solve problems, but hard to trace down because basically you can search through everything until you find it. Anyway, yeah, just Rod, you know, all you can do is just start shutting stuff off. Back to you real quick, Rod.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm going to read the article now. It got me interested again in trying to get rid of the noise. Thanks a lot, you guys. K6RD.
Good to hear you out there, Rod. Okay, yes. I hear Harold getting in there. Harold, go ahead.
Just a comment on that. Years ago, when world radio was still functional, I was a recipient of that wonderful magazine, and I read an article in there. A fellow had the same problem. He did everything that everybody told him, including buying a whole bunch of toroids and wrapping all of his power cords and whatever else, and he still had the noise in his transceiver. Finally, against everybody in the house and will, he closed everything in the house down, unplugged everything except the transceiver. He had no noise, so then he started one at a time, plug it in, and go check his transceiver. And he finally found it was some innocuous little thing that you wouldn't even think was, I don't think it was even in the room, but it was traveling through the power lines and coming in through the plug in the wall, 86 mil.
Oh, and that's actually the way most people find it and locate it. And you know, here's the tough part. It could be your next door neighbor, and that's really going to be bad, or the guy behind you, or two doors down, and it's traveling that far. And unfortunately, you can start shutting off their breakers. They'd probably get a little upset, but yeah, this is where you really have to, you know, you have to really say, oh, you know what, doggone it, you know, and try to trace it down. And then if it is a neighbor, getting them to cooperate could be very difficult. So, yeah, it's not always the easiest thing to find. And then even after you find it, it might be hard to get rid of because of the fact that it's, you know, causing the issues. There are legal ways to go through that, but it is, the path is long. And, you know, if it's really, if it's only interfering with you or me because we're hams, yeah, it's going to be a little bit tough to deal with, but, you know, best thing is try in the nicest fashion to work with them and just tell them, hey, you know what, I'm going to help you figure out what's wrong with that piece of equipment, you know, and I'm, you know, for free, and that'll get their attention right away. KO6Q here with Chuck Tuesday in the group. Anybody else, any comments?
A little bit on that, Tom. He didn't
turn everything. I unplugged everything. I was turning it off, might not actually turn it off. A lot of this stuff has a live circuit in it to keep clocks and memories and various functions that are vital to the unit to operating properly. So it still could be making, that could be where the noise is coming from, actually. It's from one of those little cheapo circuits that they stick in, a clock or a clock circuit or something of that nature, 86 PM.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Just about everything out there never shuts down completely. You know, the clue is you'll see that little blue or red or green little tiny LED that's still on. Yeah, a lot of equipment, and it basically can actually run up your electric bill if you got enough of this stuff. But it's always on, and it's always monitoring something for some reason. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. Yeah, unplug it. You have to, because otherwise it's still on. Very good. Good point. Anybody else out there? And by the way, this is Veterans Day. Like to wish all our veterans out there, thanks for all the service out there. Appreciate that. Anyway, anybody else any more comments on RFI tracing it down or questions? Please come back to KO62. Check Tuesday number.
KJ6KDL.
Tim, go ahead. Yeah, I think we have a little small audience tonight. Sorry, like I said, do apologize for skipping a few weeks there. Try to get back in the groove here, and we'll move on with that. But yes, go ahead, Tim.
Okay, well, as the days go on and people hear that we had a Tech Tuesday, if they feel disappointed that they missed it, I'll just throw in my little two-bit here that I do record these. It is being recorded now. We'll see if I can get in tonight and get this cleaned up and on there. It doesn't take that long. I just have to do it. And then people can go up and grab that. And where is that, you ask? Well, I have a very long URL that can be easily bypassed by going to bbarc.org and then clicking on the NETS link, N-E-T-S, and in the middle of that page that Randy has put together, it says Jim's KJ6KDL website. That will take you to my long link, which you can bookmark later. And now for my comment, and I'll take a break here just in case for a couple of seconds.
Let you know, W6ITC is listening.
Oh, great. I'll throw in my 2 cents. If you want to throw in some, catch right after this. We're on page 33 of the November QST on finding RF interference at the HF level, even though I'm a VHF guy. I was about to mention that at the end of page 35, I forgot his callers. The gentleman who wrote this article starts talking about building a step attenuator, which when you go to page 36 has this amazing schematic for those of you who are really into building and would like to do this for HF. This is a cool project, not a beginner's project, but on the right hand side of that two page set on 37 on the lower right, he's showing how to do triangulation. And this is really neat, because if you're not into doing the attenuator, if you can at least get a direction, if you can set up a directional antenna, which can be done sometimes just by unscrewing the antenna from your HT if the signal is strong enough, or building a directional shield, then if you can figure out how to get around the signal and get a GPS coordinate, you can draw lines on a map, and you get at least three, and you can draw an intersection. And then you can get an idea of where you should be looking for this noise, if it's one of those that are half a mile or further away. All right, all clear. Rod, if you have anything to say, it's all yours.
Sorry I was late, but a good subject. I had heard that LED lights were creating a lot of noise. I've been converting over to them, and so I ran a test, of course, with the HF, and there's no noise difference turning those things on and off, so that worked anyway. Okay, that was my comment. WA6ITC.
And to add to that, Rod, I think when a lot of the LED stuff first came out, this is going back quite a while, there is a lot of circuitry in there to make sure that noise doesn't get into the lines. Because it was, some of the early stuff on, very, very prone to creating noise. So, yeah, some very good tight restrictions have kept that under control. And, of course, LED lights, really very, very cool stuff. Long-lasting, very bright now. The fluorescents, I guess, are going to be on their way out. I've got a very cool fluorescent here on my ham shack light right here. I don't know, I still have all these fluorescents, but I got to upgrade here. The LED is really a lot neater. And coming down in price, too. So, but that'll be a whole other subject for Tech Tuesday. Anyway, yeah, the noise issue with all that, you know, it's just all these little things. And you'll find that when stuff comes right out of the blue, see if you have a new neighbor that moved in or something. You never know. Where I am up here, I don't have any neighbors. So other than a couple people just moved in across the street. But other than that, so I don't have any interference there. If I do, it's probably my own stuff. So. But we've been lucky with that. Haven't had any issues, and that's all good. But then again, too, I'm not on HF that much. So, well, Rod, glad you could join us out there, and the other Rod, too, ITC. So anybody else out there, any comments on noise on your radio or interference? Please come back. KF6U, Tech Tuesday in the group. There's Zach, my favorite mechanic guy who's going to help me with my Jeep. How you doing? Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, and Zach, that's all that stuff there. It's if it's working right, most of the time it won't cause an issue, but sometimes it doesn't, as we know. And yeah, that's one of the. Check out the, like I say, the, what we call them, the wallboards, the little tiny little charger or power supply units that come with just about everything anymore, and with, you know, laptop batteries, chargers, stuff like that. You never know. I mean, it's all this stuff, most of the time, you won't have an issue. But like Harold was saying, you have to take that stuff and just unplug it. Hopefully you don't have to unplug everything in your house. Could be a huge list of items. Make a list of what you unplug so you remember to go back and plug it back in. But very good to have you with us, Zach. Appreciate that. And we'll try to get back on schedule here with Tech Tuesday. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments on noise, interference, and issues? Carol, go ahead, and we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday here in a few minutes. Go ahead.
Another article I read in World Radio, and this guy had a bad interference noise and couldn't find it. He built a little RF detector and went outside and started scanning all around his house. And when he got outside, it was even louder on his old detector, and it come to find out it was his neighbor's TV cable. Apparently, it was back in the Midwest or the East, and they buried him. And it was really cheap junk, and it was seeping the whole length of it, getting into all his equipment. He had a terrible battle with the cable company. He finally got the FCC on him, and they had to replace everything with quality cable, 8060 on.
Oh, this is where, as anybody who's up here in the Big Bay area knows, that Charter has upgraded a lot of their gear. They've switched over to complete digital on their TV service. And with all this, a lot more stress and strain on what they have out there. And, of course, that signal has to be boosted every so often. That means there's an amp. That means it's got power going to it. And that means there's something for failure. Anyway, so over the last few years, they've been going through and trying to make sure everything was cleaned up. Yeah, very difficult when you have stuff spread all over a city. Sorry. Yeah, but they did, I think they did a pretty decent job. WA6BDC Clifford, also over there by the Big Bear Airport, had a huge amount of HF interference. I heard that it finally went away. Not sure what the cause was, but yeah, sometimes it's just, you know what, takes a lot of effort to track down and then get it to get eliminated. So yeah, that's all we can do. So anyway, last call for any comments or questions, and we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday. Good Tech Tuesday. Glad for all, happy to hear all the response out there. One more call, last call. Well, I don't hear anybody out there, but, you know, of course, we'll try to get back into the action every Tuesday here. So that was pretty cool. So we did that originally to keep from having questions on, is that the right Tuesday this week? Anyway, so hopefully we can join in here again next Tuesday. Anyway, and that'll be actually, if we maybe start out here, wrap up the end of the year with getting back on an every Tuesday schedule. So. But glad to hear everybody out there, and thanks for joining us. And, of course, always feel free to email me any questions or suggestions to kf6q@arrl.net. I'm not sure if that'll work. Jim got a little note here. Yeah, I forgot at October 31st, my ARRL membership was up for renewal, and I forgot. And thanks, Jim, for letting me use your magazine. But checking my email, they're actually going to give me a free gift to re-sign, which I was going to do anyway. And so I get a book. I get a free book here. And they have hints and kinks. Very cool. So anyway. Yeah, all right. Anyway, if you're not, everyone out there, if you're not a member of ARRL, I do suggest you join. Pretty cool group. Get a cool magazine once a month. So anyway, so we'll call it quits here. QFC, QFC, QFC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, with Tech Tuesday and the group. Closing the net at 1900 hours and 36 minutes on my clock. Hopefully we can join in here again next week. We have a follow-up next week. So let's get back on our schedule here. So appreciate everybody out there who's joined in. And I'm reading this email here on our results. I'll have those here in just a second on field day. So we'll close the net and then pray everybody, please stand by. I have the results for the 2014 Big Bear Amateur Radio Club field day. So net's closed, stand by, and I'll be right back. Okay, well, anybody out there who participates in field day, you'll know that the results don't come around until about this time of year. And they're published out there by the ARRL. And it looks like this year, K6BB came in fifth place nationwide. Our score of 6,592. Beautiful place, actually, you know. The first place had 17,900 and something. Second, 16,934. Third, 13,000. Yeah, those three were way up there. Then fourth and fifth, it's N8BC with 8,700 and something. We were right behind him there with 6,592. So basically, yeah, getting out of first place in that is pretty tough. We were second 1 year, but yeah, this is on the 7 Alpha category. K6BB came in fifth place nationwide. That's pretty good. Now, I appreciate everybody out there with all the effort. I'll guarantee you it had a lot to do with our CW contact. Anyway, thanks, Tim, for listening, and everybody else out there who helped with that. KF6Q, and we'll be clear.